Welcome, everyone. Let's stand together. Yeah, I love it. What's better than a bunch of guys singing to the Lord? Nothing. This is great. Lord, we're here for you. We want to bless your name tonight. We want to lift your name high. We welcome you here. If you would, just raise your hands with me. Lift your palms up. God, we welcome you. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. God, would you just fill our hearts with thanksgiving and praise? We love you, Lord. Let's sing together. Let our praise be your welcome. Let our songs be a sign that we are here for you. Come on, let's tell them. Are here for. Let your breath come from heaven. Let your breath come from heaven and fill our hearts with your life. Cause we are here for you. Oh, yes, we are. Yeah, we are here for you. Come on, to you, our hearts are open.
Shout, be your anthem, your renown.
He's all you want and need. He's your only desire. Tell him in your own words. Oh, you're the treasure and the prize.
Glory to a cradle in the dirt. Blessing and honor. All the glory and the power, it belongs to you. We love you, Lord. Can we sing that one more time together? Oh, praise the name.
Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forever.
Take the next 30 seconds or so and greet one another.
We right, guys. Good evening. Good evening. Good to see you. My goodness, isn't that awesome to hear a holy roar in worship? I mean, I know two things. God loves that. The enemy hates that. So we're off to a good start tonight, huh? Hey, we've got guys in the back. We got some open seats here in the front. I know nobody wants to sit in the front row, but you can make your way forward. We do have some open seats up front. I love looking across the room and seeing guys from most of our congregations represented. I want to give a shout out to New Life Manitou right over here. Let's give it up for New Life Manitou. They met at like 5:30, carpooled through traffic, made their way here. I love the stories happening at Manitou. It's awesome. Dr. Joe is doing a great job. Sean leading the men's ministry. And because you guys work so hard to get here, next week when we're serving hundreds of brisket sandwiches, come on, you guys get two, all right? You guys get two. Hey, I'm excited for what the Lord has in store for this conference. Several months ago, I started praying and just asking God, what do you want to say? What's the theme? What do you have for the conference? And I sensed his direction come pretty quickly. And it was, I just sensed him say, Gabe, talk about renewing the mind. Now, I think most of us agree right now, we live in a time that feels pretty crazy, right? There is tremendous confusion right now in our culture, and there is a significant battle happening right now for everybody's mind. Do you believe that? Yes. And so I just sense the Holy Spirit saying, talk about the mind. This is a time when everybody, and especially men, need to pay attention to what's happening in their mind, and then by the power of the Holy Spirit, learn to renew the mind. And so that's the name of the conference, The Renewed Mind. It comes from Romans chapter 12. So this is what I want to do, guys. I want to read three verses from Romans chapter 12, pray, and then we'll dig in. So if you've got your Bibles, open up to Romans chapter 12. We're going to have it on the screen. This is the Apostle Paul writing, and he wrote, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather in your presence as men. Open our hearts to receive from you. We want all that you have for us tonight. Give us ears to hear in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, my oldest daughter is about to turn 15 in 2 weeks. And so in preparation of her getting her driver's permit, I've been giving her some driving lessons. So it's been driver's ed with dad in the church parking lot. So if you ever drive by on a Sunday night and you see a little silver car that's a little herky jerky in the starting and stopping, that's us. And so, and for those of you who've ever taught your kids how to drive, you know it's an exercise in faith, isn't it? I mean, it's good for your prayer life. I've been praying like crazy. I've been praying for Avery. I've been praying for me because I got a ride with her. I've been praying for you because you're going to be sharing the road with her. I've been just covering everybody in prayer. But I do feel pretty good because I think my lessons, I don't want to brag here, but I think my lessons have been above average. I've tried to dot every I, cross every T. I've tried to be really thorough with her. In fact, she's been a little frustrated with me at times because I started so basic. My first lesson was about the steering wheel. And I said, Avery, this is the steering wheel. Keep your hands at 10 and 2. You want to pay attention, and you want to steer the car with great intentionality. I said, if you turn the car to the right, the wheel to the right, the car's going to the right. If you turn the wheel to the left, the car's and she said, Dad, chill out. She gave me some of that teenage sass. She said, seriously, you don't think I know that the steering wheel steers the car? She said, come on, let's like get to the good stuff, like driving on I-25. Let's just get right to it. But the reason I highlight that is because I think this is a very fitting picture when it comes to the mind. In the same way that a steering wheel determines the direction of a vehicle, your mind, my mind, determines the direction of our lives. The mind is essentially the steering wheel of our lives. The heart may be the engine, the mind is the steering wheel. What we fill our minds with, what we set our minds on, determine what we pursue, the direction that we move in. I've seen this countless times, just in many years of counseling men. I've seen it in my own life. But most importantly, we see it in the scriptures. In Romans chapter 8, verse 5, we'll put this on the screen. Paul wrote that the person who lives according to the flesh has their mind set on what the flesh desires, but the person who lives in accordance with the Spirit has their mind set on what the Spirit desires. You see how important the mind is? What the mind is set on, again, determines the direction of our lives and how we live. And not only that, but in the same way that a steering wheel needs to be continually steered, it's not a part-time job, is it? It's an ongoing, continual process. The same is true for the mind. Our minds need to be continually renewed, continually steered. You know, if we're driving down I-25 and we fall asleep at the wheel, the car is going to the ditch. And one of my concerns, guys, right now is that it's too many men have essentially fallen asleep at the wheel of their mind. And we're not as aware as we need to be about what's happening in the mind, the battle that's raging in the mind. And so if we don't pay attention to what's happening in the mind, just like a vehicle, our minds will begin to drift toward the ditch. So what we're going to be looking at over the course of the conference is, how do we become men who grow in our awareness of what's happening in the mind and learn to steer our minds well, to steer our minds to what's good and true and noble and excellent and praiseworthy by the power of the Holy Spirit? How do we learn to experience a renewing of the mind? Now, the Bible has a lot to say about the mind, but oftentimes when the scriptures talk about the mind, the scriptures are also talking about the Holy Spirit. The two go hand in hand. So again, in Romans 8, in many different places, that when Paul is writing about the mind, he's also talking a lot about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is essential to the process of renewing our minds, absolutely essential. And I want to unpack that a little bit more. But first, I think it might be helpful to give a definition for what does Paul mean when he says renew the mind? What does it mean? He says, don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind. Well, what does that actually mean? And so let's look at the definition. The actual Greek word that Paul used means a renewal, renovation, a complete change for the better. Now, if you take an honest inventory of your thought life over the last year, how many of you would say, I could probably use a bit of a renewal? A complete change for the better. How many of you would say that? But here's the good news. I think this is very hopeful. This is awesome. No matter the condition of your thought life, no matter if your mind has been in the ditch, been close to the ditch, the Holy Spirit specializes in rolling up his sleeves, getting his hands in the soil of your minds, and bringing about a renewal, a renovation, a complete change for the better. It's what he does. He's not saying good luck. Try to just think positive thoughts. Try really hard to keep your mind out of the ditch. That works for about 7 minutes, doesn't it? I might be able to make it until 11 o'clock in the morning if I started. Thankfully, we have the Holy Spirit who does the heavy lifting when it comes to the renewing. In fact, this word, the word Paul uses here for renewing, it only shows up one other time in the New Testament. It's in Titus 3, verse 5, which is a verse that says, we were saved and renewed by the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit does the renewing in your mind and in my mind. What we get to do is invite him. Invite him daily. One of the most important prayers I pray every day, I try to pray this every morning, first thing, is come, Holy Spirit, fill my mind today. Come, take the wheel of my mind today. I want to start every day by literally submitting my mind to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. I'll actually say, come and govern my mind today, Holy Spirit. Because I read Romans 8:5 to you. The very next verse, Romans 8:6, Paul said, the mind governed by the flesh is death. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Anybody want some life and peace? Come on, we'll take a double serving, won't we? Life and peace, baby. That's what I want. I know that's what you want. How do we get it? Where is life and peace actually found? It's a result of allowing the Holy Spirit to govern our mind, to rule and reign in our mind. He wants to do that. He wants to be invited. And so if you don't catch anything else, that alone is worth the price of this free admission conference. Is to start every day saying, Holy Spirit, come and fill my mind. I submit my mind to the leadership of the Holy Spirit today. Now, what's he want to do? Because he'll come. He'll say, I'm glad you asked. Here we go. But what's he actually wanting to do as he goes to work, as he does his holy work in hidden places in our mind? What's he wanting to do? Well, there's actually quite a bit, but here's a big one. He wants to expose the lies that we've believed. One of the things that we all have in common in this room, every single one of us, nobody is exempt from this, is from the time you were young, from the time I was young, we have been up against an adversary, an enemy, a deceiver, a thief, who has been actively working and scheming to feed you lies. And all of us, guys, to a certain degree, have believed some of these lies. And the Holy Spirit does the work of exposing these lies, leading us into the truth. Now, this is what Jesus said about the adversary. In John chapter 8, Jesus talked quite frankly about the devil. He said, he was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. Just think about that for a second. There is no truth in the enemy. So if he's flapping his lips, he is flat out lying. Jesus went on to say, when he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and he is the father of all lies. Now, the good news is he is a defeated liar, right? The death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus has defeated him. But the challenge is he's still pretty convincing. He's been at this lying gig for a while. He's defeated, but he's still pretty good at it. And so he's always lying. He's always trying to get an angle. And his most powerful lies are lies that go unnoticed. And so I want to give you an illustration that I hope just captures the enemy's strategy against you, all right? Ryan, can you come up here? This is why nobody wants to sit in the front row. This is what happens. All right, Ryan. Hands at 10 and 2 on the wheel, my friend. This is not from my car. I went actually down to the junkyard and we fetched that bad boy. Okay, that's 9 and 3, man. I'm serious. When I teach, yeah, there we go. There we go. Come on, everybody. Give it up for him. I drive like this. He's like, I am never sitting in the front row again. But the enemy, again, he is the father of all lies. And the enemy knows very well that the mind is the steering wheel. And if he can gain access to the wheel, he can begin to influence us. And he wants more than anything else for you and for me to end up in the ditch. Jesus said in John chapter 10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his only intent. He has one motive, it's to steal, kill, and destroy. And he wants access to the wheel, which is your mind. Now, consider this. The hijackers on 9/11, they wanted access to the controls too. They had one intent, didn't they? They had one intent. They took the cockpit by force. The enemy has the same motive, but oftentimes he doesn't want to take it by force because it's too obvious. So what he wants to do is he wants to feed us these little lies, these subtle lies. And these lies begin with just one finger on the wheel. He's content right there at first. One finger on the wheel. Then he'll tell another lie and another lie. And eventually, he wants to grab the wheel of your mind. He's not going to jerk it. That's too obvious. Because if he's exposed, he's defeated, remember? If he's exposed, we say, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. That's the last thing he wants. So he's subtle. He's convincing. And he'll continue to feed these little lies. And what he wants to do is he wants to turn the wheel one degree at a time. And then another degree. And another degree. And I've seen this too many times, guys. This is tragic. Eventually, what happens, and again, this is a slow process oftentimes, is that a man says, you know what? I think I do want to go this way. And he drives right in the ditch. And things blow up. The marriage blows up. Now, I'll tell you, I've also seen the redemptive, faithful, healing work of Jesus when a man ends up in the ditch. Jesus is really good at binding up the brokenhearted and setting the captives free and bringing a restoration where there's brokenness. He's really good at it. But he would rather have us pay attention when we're still on the road. And to be sober-minded, to be alert, to pay attention, to invite the Holy Spirit, come expose these lies, to take an honest inventory of our thought life, so that we can recognize when the enemy does have a bit of a grip. And we can begin to just repent before the Lord. All right? You're wondering, how long is he going to leave me up here? All right, can we give Ryan a hand? You know, if you've ever experienced the conviction of the Holy Spirit regarding your thought life, you know what that is? That's the kindness of God. God is not trying to be a killjoy. God is not trying to just hammer on you so you feel bad about yourself. Here I am, sorry, Lord, here I am again. No, what he's saying is, because you're my son and because I'm crazy about you, I don't want you in the ditch. And so he convicts us sometimes of what we think about, what we set our mind on, as a way to say, okay, let's just correct this. Just like when I am driving with Avery on I-25, and if she starts to drift toward the ditch, what am I going to do? I'm going to say, okay, we're gonna begin to steer this way. The conviction of the Holy Spirit for our thought life is the kindness of the Lord. And if you want to learn how to renew your mind, if you want to learn how to steer your mind well, these three words are really, really helpful. Lord, I repent. You know, God doesn't get tired of hearing that. As Pastor Brady says, when we say, Lord, I repent, we're swimming in oceans of grace. The Father's saying, all right, here we go, let's steer this. But it's just a way that we're recognizing, okay, my mind is drifting. I'm recognizing it. Lord, I repent. I turn my eyes back to you. I turn my mind back on you. I set my mind back on the things of God, the things of the Spirit. And that's part of how we steer the mind. And again, it's the Holy Spirit that searches our mind. It's the Holy Spirit that leads us into truth. He's the one that will help us. But it's sure helpful to just be honest about our thought life and willing to say, Lord, I repent. So not only does the Holy Spirit want to expose the lies, but here's something else he wants to do. He wants to uproot the lies. Not only does he want to expose them, he wants to get those babies by the root. He wants those weeds, those lies, uprooted. Now, I was thinking about this. I haven't thought about this in a really long time, but this week I was thinking about how my second job was hoeing weeds in a bean field in Kansas. And I was probably 14 years old. It was my second job because I got fired from my first job at 12. This is a true story. My dad hired me to help paint some houses in the summer, and he fired me because he said I complained too much. So I guess in Kansas, you can hire 12-year-olds. But I got fired, so my vocational career was off to a rough start, but I rallied. I rallied and I got hired by some family friends at 14. And my job was simple. They gave me a hoe. They said, Gabe, I want you to walk up and down these rows and simply look for weeds and hoe them. I said, I think I can do that. And so back and forth under the hot Kansas sun, I went just looking for weeds. And you know what I noticed is a lot of weeds were pretty easy. I would just take that hoe and go, poof, poof. I got pretty good at it. But some of the weeds had these really thick roots. And I would try to hoe them, but they wouldn't move. They wouldn't budge. And so I'd have to get down on my hands and knees thinking that if they're paying me like $4 an hour for this, what? And I would have to move the dirt, move the soil, and expose the root system. And then once the root system was exposed, I would take that sharp hoe and just begin to hack away at it. And the hoe was undefeated. It took some muscle sometimes, but there was never a weed, no matter how deep the root system was, that eventually wouldn't come out. And I think that's a good picture of what happens in our minds. Some of these lies, these weeds that the enemy plants in the soil of your mind, you can recognize them. That's a lie. And through the word of God, you can just pluck them right out. But you know, some of them have a deep root system. And some of them feel like they don't move because you've spent most of your life believing them. And part of the reason for that is because, like I said, the enemy is convincing and he's also timely. And what he does is when we're young and after we experience pain, harm, trauma, betrayal, and we're in pain, he's right there to try to help interpret what happened. You know that's your fault. You know that happened because something's wrong with you. You know you can never trust anybody again. You know you're alone. You know you don't have what it takes, so you better fake it. He plants these seeds when we're young. And again, they get these deep roots. And then it's frustrating, isn't it? It's frustrating as grown men. It's like, why is this so hard to get at this? It just seems like it doesn't move or it doesn't change. But I believe this with everything in me. You know, I made a joke about the hoe being undefeated, but this is true. The word of God is undefeated against any root system, any weeds, because what it says in Hebrews is the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Now, how many of you like to play with sharp weapons as a kid? How many of you still like to play with sharp weapons? There is nothing sharper than the Word of God. And again, there is no lie, no matter how deep, no matter how real it may feel, that can eventually withstand the cutting of the word of God. And so guys, this is where we pick up the sword, which is the word of God, the sword of the Spirit. And we learn how to wield the sword. We learn how to wield the word of God. We learn to recognize, okay, this is a root system of a lie. It's deep. It's felt true for most of my life, but I know it contradicts the word of God. And so I'm going to take this scripture, I'm going to take this passage, and I'm going to begin to wield the sword and cut away at the roots. And oftentimes it takes some time. But the man who continues to take the scripture, take the word of God, and cut away at the roots, it will move. It's impossible for the word of God to come up against some lies and for the lies to win. For the word of God to like bend and break. I mean, that's laughable, right? And sometimes we just need to be reminded of that's the truth. That's the power in the scripture. It takes some intentionality, but that's part of how we grow up in our faith. That's part of how we mature. It's not a quick process. It takes some time. It might take some time sitting with somebody else and helping a wise mentor or a counselor or somebody actually go through your story to begin to recognize some of these root systems. I've done that. It's incredibly powerful. Incredibly powerful to go back into your story and take a closer look at your life And some guys might say, well, what's the point of that? You can't change it. You know what? The enemy hates it when a man goes back in the story and begins to look at where these lies have been planted, because the Holy Spirit starts turning on some lights. And then you learn again, wield that sword and say, okay, here we go. And you stay with it. And you stay with it. And it will work. So the Holy Spirit wants to expose lies in your mind. The Holy Spirit wants to uproot lies. And lastly, the Holy Spirit wants to plant good seed. He doesn't just want to uproot the weeds. What he really wants to do is he wants to plant good seed in the soil of our minds. And Jesus made it clear that the seed is the Word of God. So the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, but it's also good seed. And so I love this. As men, we don't read the Bible to check the obligatory box so we don't feel guilty. I've done my Christian duty today. I've read 5 verses. I mean, I know it's easy to do that. Especially when I was younger, I kind of fell into some of that. Just, okay, I got to read the scripture today. And there was just a sense of guilt. But that's not the heart of God. The heart of God is, hey, I want you to take the most powerful seed the world has ever known, and I want you to plant that in your mind day after day after day. And you're going to water it, and it's going to begin to grow more and more and more. That's the power of this seed. That's the invitation from God. Take that seed, plant it into your mind, do it again and again, year after year, and see what happens. Now, I mentioned I was from Kansas. Oftentimes, when people find out I'm from Kansas, they usually say the same thing. They'll say, oh, Kansas, I drove through there. That drive is the worst. See, there was kind of a collective groan right there, wasn't it? That's kind of what I get. They'll say, that drive is the worst. And I'll say, well, you need to drive through Kansas in July. Because if you drive through western Kansas in July, you're going to look out and you're going to see miles and miles of golden brown wheat that's ripe and ready for harvest. It is spectacular. Now, it's not Pike's Peak. I'm not claiming it's Pike's Peak, but it's pretty glorious. And so growing up in western Kansas, what I witnessed is I witnessed salt of the earth farmers go into their fields month after month, every fall, and they just planted seed in the soil of the earth. And they did it year after year after year. And they watered it, and they cared for the soil, and they pulled the weeds. And then every July, this is what it looks like as the sun begins to set over these wheat fields. And I want to show you this picture as we close, because this is the picture that I have in my heart of what I want my mind to look like. It may take some time. It may take decades. But I hope to die an old man with a lot less hair, but a mind that looks like this. A mind that has had the seed of the Word of God planted in it month after month, year after year, decade after decade. And I want, that's my prayer, Lord, may my mind, by the end of my life, look like this, where that seed, which is the Word of God, sprouts and it grows and it creates a harvest of righteousness. And may that be true for all of us, right? Can you open your hands? Can I pray for you? Father, we thank you so much for the amazing and holy work that you're doing in each of our minds. God, right now, we invite you in a fresh way. Come, Holy Spirit, fill our minds. Lord, we yield our minds to the leadership of the Holy Spirit right now. We invite you to come and expose lies that we have believed. God, train us, equip us to wield the sword of the Spirit, to uproot these lies by the roots. And Lord, help us be men who are faithful to plant the seed of your scripture in our mind. May this be true for all of us. Lord, we love you. I thank you for every one of these men. You smile at them. I sense even right now that your Holy Spirit is saying there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So any man who came in tonight feeling condemned because of their thought life or what might be happening in the secret of their mind, you're saying you are forgiven in Jesus' name. There is no condemnation. Today is a new day. My mercy is new for you today. And so, Father, tomorrow as we wake up, may it be a new day where we experience the goodness of God and the power of the Holy Spirit at work as he renews our mind. In Jesus' name. And all the men said, amen, amen. Amen. Okay, it's 7:20. It's 7:20. We're going to give you until like 7:55 to engage and connect with other guys at the table. One of our real hopes with these conferences is that you have plenty of time, you have space for unhurried conversations. And so you've probably heard here at New Life, all over our city, we've got fire team men's groups meeting. We've got 50-some guys leading fire teams. And so a lot of those guys are in the room tonight. So one of the things we want is to create opportunities for you to meet some of our leaders. And so we're gonna have some discussion questions on the table. If you're in the back, again, you can come forward. We still have some open seats here. The message is over. You're safe. You're not going to have to volunteer for anything else. But come on up, find an open seat, and then Pastor Chad will come up at the end of the night and pray over us and dismiss us. So 1, 2, 3, go.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time tonight. God, we thank you for the men that are here. Lord, we thank you for the wives that are represented at these tables, the children that are represented at these tables, the grandchildren represented at these tables. Father, we pray. You said you've given us the spirit of a sound mind, and we ask, Holy Spirit, come. Give us soundness of mind. Give us a transformed and renewed mind in the image of Christ, so that when we leave and go out from here, we carry the mind of Christ and the fruit of the Spirit in everything that we do and everyone that we encounter. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, can we thank Pastor Gabe for the word tonight? I just have the honor of seeing Gabe over the weeks preparing for tonight. He makes it look so easy, but he's been praying. I've seen him stocked away in his office and preparing and praying for you guys. And I get to hear his heart for each of you. And his heart beats what Jesus' heart is beating for you. He loves hearing what the Spirit of God is wanting to do, and then making that a reality. It's a lot of work that Pastor Gabe has put in tonight, so thank you, Gabe. So good. On your tables, please take this daily devotional home. It's a devotional that Pastor Gabe put together for each of the days between now and next Thursday when we have barbecue. Matter of fact, Pastor Gabe just confirmed that we've got brisket and pulled pork coming from, is it Bird Dog Barbecue next week, so you won't want to miss it. And come about 6:10, and we'll start getting the food going. And if you have not yet registered, would you please go online and register? Go to the New Life Church men's page and go to the men's conference and register. That gives us a count for how much barbecue to order. You do that? All right. So, take this home. Do the daily devotionals there. I love the illustration of falling asleep at the wheel. So in 1985, 1986, I was working in Spokane, Washington, and I would work graveyard, and my girlfriend, soon-to-be bride, lived 2 hours away in Clarkston, Washington. I would get off at 8 in the morning, and I would drive 2 hours, tired after a full night of a graveyard shift. And there was one time that I woke up in the other lane while I was driving. Come on, how many of you have done that? Confess, okay, several of you. But here's what has never happened. I have never fallen asleep when there was a car full of two or three or four other guys with me. Because you're talking, and if you start to nod off, they're like, hey, get back in your lane. And that's what we call at New Life fire teams. Three, four, five other guys, and we can join with them, and we help each other stay alert in our minds. We help each other renew our minds and follow the things of the Spirit. And if we start to drift, we can help each other. We say, hey, it looks like maybe you're drifting. How can I pray for you? And if we end up in the ditch, or maybe if we're already in the ditch, the guys get out of the car with you, and they're like, come on, let's get this car out of the ditch. Let's get back on the road and back in your lane, in your marriage, in your career, with your kids, in your character, in your walk with God, whatever it is. We don't do well alone. God did not build us that way. And so we have fire teams at New Life Church. And could I have just all of the current fire team leaders and the new fire team leaders, would you just stand up right where you're at? Can we just take a look at these guys? Okay. Excellent. Yes. So stay standing for just a second. There's these guys and there's several others. Back on the tables in the back, there are fire team flyers that have information on our current fire teams. I encourage you, if you're going it alone, if you're driving through life alone, find one of these guys and say, hey, I'd like to just check out your fire team. Could I do that? Or grab a flyer at one of those back tables. And there are amazing stories coming out of these fire teams. And these men, I have walked and talked with these men, and they are great men. You will love meeting these men, and you will love being part of a fire team. So if you are not yet part of a fire team, look one of these guys up. And the second thing I want to say, you guys can go ahead and grab a seat, is that we have a little over 50 fire teams, and we believe God has asked us to make that 100 in 2024. Now, that's a lot. Fire teams have been going for about 10 years. And but Pastor Gabe and I both have sensed God is asking us to press in to raise up 100 fire team leaders. And so we've been praying and we've been asking the Lord for those fire team leaders. I bet there's a few of you here tonight, and God even right now is kind of tapping on your heart and say, I think you're one of those guys. I think you've got something. You've logged some miles with Jesus, and you're not perfect. There's no fire team leader here that's perfect, but you've got some stuff that some other men could get around, and you could encourage them in their faith, and they could encourage each other in their faith. So here's the invitation I want to give you. If that's you, come up. I'm going to be up front here. Come talk to me, and we're going to make an appointment for coffee. Even if you just want to explore it, you're like, man, I don't know if I want to be a fire team leader or not. If you just want to explore it, let's have some coffee and have a conversation. We've developed an orientation process, and we even have people that have come through it just to kind of figure out, do I want to do this, just going through the orientation? And so just want to invite you to come talk with me. Let's go have coffee and explore becoming a fire team leader. All right. I think that's it. Next week, 6:10, Bird Dog Barbecue. Thank you all for coming. We'll see you next week.